Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast. Tuesday, May 7th, 2019, show number 237.
Here are your hosts, Steve and Lee.
Thanks for joining a special Tuesday edition of Pepper Aloud. I'm your host, Lee, in New York, and in Boston, we have Steve. Hey, Steve, if we got invited to the White House, would you go?
I would not. But also, I have to point out something. I am not too happy with you right now.
Why is that?
Okay, so last week we were recording, and sometimes this happens where one of us fucks up, and the other one goes, hey, and they, like, call you out on it. And then, so I rarely listen back to these episodes. Usually I record it, file it away, don't think about it again. But I have a longer commute now, and I was like, you know what? I moved to the burbs. I'm going to start listening to our podcast on the car ride there. And what do I hear? You bitching me out for messing with my microphone.
So I thought about that, and I tried my best to cut out all the little hisses and cracks, but I just wanted people to know that it was not my microphone that was causing all those.
Well, sorry that we record this once every 4 months, and I didn't like go buy the fancy microphone.
So for those listening at home, I hope you're enjoying the nice soft sounds from my microphone. This is show number 4 of the 2019 season.
There you go. You like that?
For added effect, that's Steve with his crackling microphone.
I don't live in Boston anymore either. Get that name out of your head.
From the safe Metro West. No, wait. The borderline central eastern Massachusetts.
No, suburbs. Don't call me central.
Yeesh.
it's too expensive anywhere else.
If you lived in central Mass, you really would be going to the emphasis on White House.
This is a pretty MAGA town I live in, I'm not going to lie.
But show number 4.
There's a guy that lives near me that has a pickup truck, and he has a window decal that just says publicly hated.
Hey,
true story. I hate him a lot. So I hope he's a listener.
You just got to wear sunglasses to block out all the haters in central eastern Mass border.
Yeah, he's just a trash bag that drives a really loud truck, like 90 miles past the school.
Do you find that since you've moved out of the more urban areas of Boston that the people have just gotten crazier?
So here's, I think I've gotten crazier, but I bought a nice grill over the weekend. I was like, I'm living in the suburbs now. I had a grill and I kind of burned it to pieces. So like it like caught on fire and like it just died. So I got a fancy grill and I still have that city boy mindset. And I deadbolted a like concrete slab to it, a cinder block, if you will, to the bottom of it, and everyone thinks I'm crazy for that. But publicly hate is going to come by and take my nice grill if I didn't cinder block it down.
Well, I think that is a little crazy. You do live in the safe suburbs. You do live next to a middle school, though, and as we know,
it's very well lit. There's been fist fights in our driveway from the middle schoolers. My wife, yeah, not to brag, heard a child say a slur that let's just say white children should not be saying, and so yeah, middle schoolers are pretty tough.
They're the worst.
Let me tell you, I saw two kids on a longboard before. I was trying to leave for work and they were like sitting on their longboards in front of my house, and I was like, keep moving out of here.
Whenever you hear like the
but you can't mess with middle schoolers, because those, if anyone holds a vendetta against you, it's a seventh grader.
The teachers who freak out on middle school students, I have a lot
totally
of
totally justified.
Totally justified. Corporal punishment. You should be able to do whatever the fuck you want if you're a middle school teacher.
Well, you know, I should also point out that you obviously haven't read the news today, but there was a school shooting today. That so maybe we shouldn't be saying this.
Hey, this is America. That's just another day in the old U.S. of A.
Okay.
But we are going to get into the podcast here. Talk baseball, America's other pastime besides school shootings.
Oh, God.
I'm doing a hot start here for episode 4.
Thank God we saved this one till Tuesday.
So let's get into it here. As we've talked about, we want to go through just quick news and notes. I do have my review of Yankee Stadium, Steve.
I was going to say, you went to a ball game. Did you eat anything delicious?
I want to save my review for Yankee Stadium for the end of the show. Let's do a quick
one. Wow, your review of a stadium you've been to 45 times that we've talked about several times on the show, that's 12 years old.
I have some updates, so I want to add in on Yankee Stadium 2019.
NYC Guido voice puked on you?
No puke, all well-behaved New Yorkers. But We'll get into that a little bit later. Let's get into Chris Paddock. Who is this guy? Who?
Who?
Your early.
Why does he hate? Why does he hate Pete Alonso so much? That's what I want to know.
Early making him look silly with the 70-mile-per-hour hook. Anyway, if you didn't see the highlights, another incredible dominating performance with Paddock going 7 innings, 11 strikeouts. He is your early National League Cy Young, I think, favorite, right?
For it's, the checks my phone. It is May 7th. Yeah.
May 7th. Hey, like I said, Tyler Glasnow, your early AL favorite at 4-1 in the American League.
Hey, ever since you started talking about the Mariners, they have shit the bed, so maybe we should pump all the brakes on all of this stuff.
Well, I saw them live last night.
Oh, that's right. Felix Hernandez's corpse throwing 60 miles. Do you think Felix Hernandez would be better if he started pitching left-handed?
He looked very bad. He looked very bad. I think it's...
You saw Thairo Estrada's first career home run, though. The guy has a bullet in his hip.
It's possible he doesn't... Felix Hernandez does not make it through the season. The Padres, though... Middling lately, but Paddock's performance definitely noteworthy. And it's that National League West with Fernando Tatis out after straining his hamstring, it was called, by doing a inadvertent full split on a on a stretch play at second.
Torn scrotum didn't fit on the byline, so they had to go strained hammy.
They're hanging in there 20 and 16, and as we've talked about...
Did you know that Fernando Tatis Jr., they acquired him by trading away James Shields, of all people?
Isn't that incredible? I did know that.
So I saw, I think it was... I have to look up on who said it on Twitter, but they were talking about, like, I guess at Pod, or like a lot of stadiums, they show, like, the Bartolo Colon home run, and I guess today was, like, the... like anniversary of him hitting that home run off James Shields, and it's like, joke's on you, they got what's his name, Fernando Tatis Jr. for that guy, so what do they care?
The other kind of, I guess, you know, trade factoid out there right now is the fact that at one point the Marlins, not only, you know, obviously Stanton and Yelich trades get a lot of publicity, but a little
less Ozuna
known.
Don't leave out Ozuna.
And don't leave out, yeah, Marcell Ozuna as well.
They had an all-star outfield,
but wait for this.
Chris, they killed Paddock, the golden retriever.
I don't know the full background, but at one point, Chris Paddock, Domingo Germán, Anthony DeSclafani, I'm going to really butcher these names. I can get this one. Luis Castillo, not that Luis Castillo, were all in the Marlins farm system.
What Paddock? The I know Germán was traded for like Martin Prado, but which is a hilarious trade now. What was Paddock traded for?
I'm going to bring this up. I think I did just Google the fact that he went to, he's only 23, went to, I believe, Texas, which he committed to Texas A&M, never went to college. He was traded for, this one's good. He was traded on June 30th, 2016 for Fernando Rodney.
Ooh. That's pretty bad.
This guy has been incredibly dominant in his minor
career. I know
career.
Castillo, Luis Castillo was traded for Casey McGahee.
This is...
Germán was... okay, so arguably three of like the best young pitchers in baseball are now. Germán, Paddock, and Castillo were traded for Martin Prado, Fernando Rodney, and I already forgot who... Casey McGahee.
Casey McGahee. A guy who moves like a slug.
That is the worst return... Man, and that was the good Marlins front office. Think of that. So that was the one that wasn't emotionally abusive to everyone.
So let's get into that story from Ken Rosenthal the other day.
Of The Athletic, but don't leave out the company.
Yes, sorry. All citation and attribution goes to The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal of Athletic fame wrote a really good piece on the current state of the Marlins, mostly focused on an executive
and noted Gary wet Dunbo. Noodle. Noted wet noodle, Ken Rosenthal. We should throw that as he just blasted the Marlins front office.
I don't fully know what wet noodle is in his like throwing arm was weak.
No, he's just like, hi, this is Ken Rosenthal. Like, he's not threatening. Like, if you get a call from Ken Rosenthal, you're not like, oh, this guy's gonna break a big story and ruin my career.
Okay, I got you. You're saying he's not like the Don Van Natta.
He's not like
or
the
Seth
Woj. Yeah, he's not Woj. He's not gonna blow up like the world when he does his reporting.
Yes, gotcha. So anyway, this story focused a lot on the dysfunction within the Marlins, but really pinpointed a lot
Captain
of
Jeets, baby.
a lot of the blame or maybe credit after you read the piece, because I will say it was a fair piece, even though it had some saucy tidbits laced in it. But Gary Denbo, vice president of player development and scouting for the Miami Marlins, formerly of the New York Yankees. I want to hear more about your take on him during the Yankees tenure in a second here. But
yeah.
A couple of things. 58 years old, was a hitting coach, was a former player, kind of grinded his way through the coaching ranks, through the player development and scouting ranks.
He was apparently the hitting coach for, like, the 2000 Yankees.
Yes.
he was part of the dynasty.
Tidbit in there was, like, that he was kind of one of the pioneers, he was at the forefront of, hey, we should use video to review your swing and break it down a little bit. So
Joe Torre could barely use an answering machine, but this guy's breaking down video.
The spicy tidbits in there were just his aggressive behavior. Most notably, there was a pitcher who was a little overweight during spring training wind sprints. He pulled him aside and basically told him, hey, you're a fat ass, you gotta lose weight.
No, then, he started off with, do you know who I am? The yeah. biggest classic dipshit way to open up a conversation with someone.
Has a very much a aggressive, almost military style, I would say. Some of the other tidbits in there, just really pushing out all of the old Jeffy Loria, David Sampson guys, overruling the scouting department when he was with the Yankees, signing this like 5-1 shortstop. So really, at the end of the day, it seems like he kind of runs things with an iron fist. He's had success, though, I would say, as one of the metrics in there was the fact that the Marlins farm system, granted they've traded away a lot of their top players to acquire these guys, but has gone from dead last to, I would say, somewhere in the middle of baseball, if you look at the consensus minor league farm system rankings. What was your experience, though, Steve, with him, Gary Denbo? Was this guy known, like, in yes. the Yankee circles?
Yes, he is widely known as the architect for what the Yankees are today. So, I guess it was like 2014 or something, Mark Newman ran the Yankees minor league system, and then Cashman fired him, brought in Denbo, and all of a sudden, that's when, you know, Aaron Judge was developed, Luis Severino was developed, Gary Sanchez was developed. Like, these guys might have been in the system, but before, under the old regime, these players were fading, like, fizzling out in the farm system. And, you know, he did the scouting for to get, like, Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, guys who are impact players for the Yankees. So he is widely known as being the reason why the Yankees are where they are today. That being said, very eye-opening part of that article was Rosenthal saying that the Yankees were planning on letting him go. Like, they didn't even, like, fight to bring him back, which kind of tells you he's an asshole. He hates dogs. He went into one of the minor league parks in Greensboro, and they have bat dogs, which who in their right mind would hate a golden retriever that collects bats? And the answer is Gary Denbo. I thought the weirdest part of that article was that the Marlins view the Stanton trade as an absolute coup. Like, being able to unload $265 million, which I personally don't agree with. If I was a fan and we had the reigning MVP homegrown superstar signed to a relatively, it sounds funny because they unloaded $265 million, but unloading a relatively affordable contract for a superstar player at $22 million a year and getting back two low-level arms that who knows what they're going to be like, and rethinking that is a great like turnaround, I would be pretty pissed about. This isn't like the Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett salary dump on the Dodgers. This is just giving away an MVP in his prime, a homegrown MVP, which is even worse. And then, yeah, you talk about the Yelich trade they got. What, they get, like, Lewis Brinson out of that trade?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got sent down this week. Like, I don't understand. The Marlins are such a shitty franchise that, and this always seems to happen when you get guys. We saw actually with the Marlins when they had Tino Martinez as their hitting coach,
Barry Bonds too.
Barry Bonds, yeah, that's right. Where you get these guys who come from well known franchises, good players, and the whole thing with Tino Martinez was just like, oh, Derek Jeter, Paul O'Neill wouldn't have done that, and then you start choking players. It sounds like Denbo is kind of they said multiple times in the article how like he never wanted to leave the Yankees, and he doesn't even feel like he's in like a major league franchise right now. And it's like, yeah, I mean, You went to the fucking Marlins. What do you expect?
Yeah, it is all...
this I whole... also think that the... I don't trust any of the previous regime sources, though. Because, obviously, if someone new comes in, they're going to bring in their own people. Like, that's... And, obviously, people who were there before are going to be like, oh, this guy sucks. Like, I don't really buy into that. I buy in that he's an asshole, but I also buy into the fact that he obviously knows what he's doing.
100%. Both can be true, right? I think...
Yeah. He built... Like I said, I need all those Yankee players. He is the one that built that whole franchise right now.
Yeah. And that's why I think the piece was really well done. I think if you're Gary Denbo, it's actually like a really... I think it shines you kind of in a good light. You
know, I wouldn't be pissed.
If I'm Gary, I think he wants to be known as a bit of a hard ass. But it had some nice tidbits in there too of a guy talking about how... I think when his spouse had cancer, maybe he had cancer. Unlike the previous regime that just... well, I guess Jeter kind of threw some guys out on the street.
Jeter started digging the grave for the scout that had cancer.
But Denbo, you know, I think this guy was somehow reported to him. Like he said Denbo, like, reached out to him, tried to take care of him the best he could. So, you know, little things like that were sprinkled in there to let you know that this
guy... I'll make an appointment at Urgent Care for you through my Outlook app.
He definitely is... I would say not the friendly come into my office and let's chit chat and have a glass of whiskey.
Soft skills is what they say in the business.
But at the end of the day, this is a baseball organization with like 200 guys in a minor league system,
a shitty franchise.
You know, 100 guys probably who were held over from the Laurier days. Yeah, I think there was a lot of shit to clean up there if you're him walking into that situation. So I think it remains to be seen. You know, these trades, I obviously, like we've talked about in past couple episodes, I have no idea who these prospects are anymore. I'm really out of the prospect game. So I guess you know,
it's I know the Yankees traded Rafael Devers' brother for Stanton.
Yeah.
Or cousin, something like that.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Oh, wow.
And Lewis Brinson. I don't know who they got for Ozuna.
I'm going to hit you with some quick hitter baseball
news. Knowledge.
Jump in here if there's anything you want to talk about. Bryce Harper.
The White House.
Bryce Harper slumping. Trevor Bauer slumping.
Mm. Yeah. You hate to see that.
Drew Pomeranz really slumping.
I don't know. That's
just a personal.
One of these things is not like the other. But yeah, sure.
Do you want to talk about the White House Red Sox? I mean, I feel like that, you know, by now on Tuesday or Wednesday morning.
You know what? Maybe Alex Cora could have used this time to bend the president's ear about Puerto Rico, because if there's anything we know is that the president's very open to criticism, especially from Hispanic people. So I'm sure that would have went over fine. I have no problem with Alex Cora saying, fuck you. And like, if anything, and Jamil Hill had an awesome column about this in The Athletic.
Libcuck.
Yeah, absolutely. But she was just like, why are we asking the Hispanic or minority players when we should be asking the white players why they want to break up the clubhouse? And it's a good point. Like, Heath Hembree's going to like get his jerry curl nice and greasy for the trip to the White House. So, like, I think that's a fair point. Being like, hey, your manager is obviously very passionate about how terribly Puerto Rico is treated for the past, I don't know, that hurricane was, what, 4 years ago at this point? It's like, why would you go? And he's just going to give you a fillet of fish anyway. Like, it's not even, is it even cool to go to the White House anymore?
So I guess we're going to talk about it here. I mean, you know, this all started with Steve Buckley talking about his, shedding light on it. Steve Buckley? No, Steve Buckley's alive.
Who am I thinking of?
He was sick, or he is sick.
Okay, my bad.
But Buckley tweeted how it's basically the white, lowercase w, Sox, capital S-O-X, who will be going to the White House.
There's already a team called that, though.
A little, a play on words. So, look, I think David Price kind of got caught up in the maelstrom because he said more eyeballs should be looking at this, and I think people thought that that meant that David Price was agreeing with Buck and trying to show how divided this thing was and maybe there were racial elements to it. But
well, isn't that like a well-known thing that major league clubhouses are pretty segregated? Because, well, I mean, you get a lot of players who are Hispanic who don't, like, English isn't their first language. Obviously, you're going to go more towards the people that speak your language.
I would say yes, but Price clarified his comments today his Twitter comments. I can't believe we're talking about like Twitter comments. And
he pressed pause on Fortnite for a couple minutes.
But he actually said like he wanted to shed light on it and the fact that he thought Buck's tweet was like stoking the fire. And he actually, I don't know, maybe it's just a giant mind fuck that he had. But
is he going to the White House?
He's not going to the White House. So, yes, very divided. Interesting. We will see. I mean,
hey, Tiger Woods went.
Yes.
Because if there's anyone that needs a second chance, it's a guy who fucked multiple women while his wife is pregnant. So.
a lot in common. What's funny is the other Boston team, the Bruins, the Hockey Sox, they were the ones that started this with Tim Thomas.
Timmy Thomas.
Yeah.
He didn't like Barack.
And then when they were playing, excuse my hockey knowledge here. I believe they were like playing a series the next year and they had like Obama mask taunting him in the front row against the glass. Similar times when only one celebrity, or not even a celebrity, a D-list
athlete. Celebrity is a strong accusation.
Yeah, a D-list athlete had political takes. Not the case anymore in, obviously, 2019. We will see what happens there. That's it for the news and notes section of the podcast.
Steve, that's all you got?
I missed, yeah. I mean, there's really, look, missed one thing here. Shohei Ohtani.
He's back, baby.
That's cool. He's DHing, hitting third tonight for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Can't pitch still.
That kind of takes all his value.
Yeah, that's.
Do you think they'll play him in the field? Or he probably can't throw.
Yeah, probably not. So yeah, just
DHing. Man, we got gypped on him.
We have.
He was awesome for like 3 weeks. Yes. He was awesome.
So yeah, a lot of guys hurt right now. Rendon just came back, but you know, guys.
We don't talk about the National League.
That's all you have for news, Steve. Should we talk about my Yankee Stadium experience?
Yeah, lay it on me. What did you eat?
All right.
Did you go to the Hard Rock Cafe?
I was fortunate enough to get tickets to the Delta 360 Sky Club Suite level, which
is. How did you pull that off? You must have a nice banking job in Wall Street.
Not quite. But what is the equivalent to?
You work at the Duane Reade and you were the employee of the month.
Is it the EMC Club? What are they called? The old 406 Club now at Fenway Park?
The State Street Pavilion.
State Street Pavilion, yes.
I sat there once with our friend Andrew.
So
his company had a suite there, and it was the coldest day of my life.
I would equate it to that. It's okay. I would say like.
Didn't we go there? We went to the Audi deck one time.
Yes, this was more like 200 level, I would say. So it's right behind home plate two. So it's very close. Prime.
Did you see Michael K's big ass head?
So, when you're in this area, they have a nice like open seating area where anyone can walk out there. And I would imagine during the summer, you got to be ticketed, I guess, to be in the Delta Suite to begin with. Let them eat cake. All those peasants in the other sections can't.
Did you spit on anyone from the balcony?
I did. Through my peanut crumbs. But yeah.
Dance, boy!
There's like individual normal seats that you're assigned, but then you can also go to this kind of mixed space pavilion. They have a couple of bars, which is nice. Free popcorn, free peanuts. The food, though, disgusting.
So bad.
Pizza, gross.
Cheese, like those really thick, doughy cheese pizza that you get at like a Target.
Just disgusting.
Uh-huh.
The chicken fingers, absolutely disgusting. So dry. How do you mess up a chicken finger at a stadium?
You know what's weird? The Yankees Twitter all offseason was really talking up at the new menu items that they're going to have in the concourses. I guess the concourses are different.
Maybe the concourses have better stuff. We also got a quesadilla. Disgusting. Was about as thin as a sheet of paper and cost $14.
You have to wait. This wasn't like... Oh, I just assumed that when you go in there, it's all like open.
So it's open, but it's probably like 300, 400 people can sit in there.
No. I mean, like everything's paid for. Like
No. So water.
What?
Water, popcorn, peanuts, and soda and coffee. They have that in like a section that's for free. And then everything
else.
Do you
leave the peanut shells on the floor in the fancy area?
Yeah. I was nice and tidy. I was not raised in a barn.
Now, here's the important question. Did you take a shit?
So they have two private bathrooms, which is very nice. Very, very nice to have.
So like designated shitters, like single stall?
I would say it's like the equivalent of like a work bathroom. There's like 5 urinals and like 4 stalls.
Man, you got a much nicer office than I do.
Very nice. And yeah, I mean, overall, a pleasant experience from a seating standpoint. Vantage points really good there, so if you can get the ticket somehow, I recommend. The food options at Yankee Stadium, though, continue to underwhelm. It's no,
if City Field blows it away.
Blows it away.
They have Fuku. And Shake Shack. That's all you need to know.
Yes. So I will be going to a City Field game or a Mets game at some point in the near future. I will report back then, but my score right now on the food in Yankee Stadium is 1 to 10. Just looking at food and then like using my actual taste buds for the things I just mentioned, I got to go like 4.3.
I'm surprised it was that high, to be honest with you.
Maybe even lower. Oh, I got a sausage too, and the bread was like disgustingly stale.
Think for all the food being so shitty, you would stop ordering it? Maybe this one will be good.
Hey, just got to pay for Luke Voigt's contract somehow.
Yeah, he's making 600. Hey, by the way, did you pay for anything at this excursion?
I did not, which is why we went ham on the food.
I was going to say, for someone who bitched a lot about the food, you sure got a lot of it.
I can still complain about it, right?
I guess so. I mean, you're not going to get as much of a buy-in, but it's a little suspicious. I don't have any tickets to any games this year.
I feel like that's more of an indictment, though, the fact that the food was free. It was like
they should have saw you, Employee of the Month for the month of April at Duane Reade at Times Square. They should have saw you walk in and just blown the doors off the place. And instead, nothing.
Not good. Not good. Well, are you going to any Fenway games soon? Can we get
I don't have any tickets to anything. You know what I was thinking last year? The first 3 weeks of the season, I went to a game in Cincinnati, in St. Pete, and in Boston. And now that I moved to the Burbs, the thought of going to Fenway just sounds too exhausting. I hate the idea of it.
It's a problem. Attendance is down this year again, Steve.
Well, also, it doesn't help that it's been 10 degrees every single day in Massachusetts this month.
And it's been raining every day for the last, like, 2 weeks in the East
Coast. It's raining right now. Yeah, and going to Fenway, fuck that. Like, it was fine when I lived not far from it, but now, eh.
Well, now that
I can do without it.
Now that we're at the point in the podcast where we're literally the old men screaming at the rain clouds and getting to a baseball game on at 7 o'clock on a weeknight.
I think I like these 6:30 starts. I like these 6:30 starts.
That was actually so. My other takeaway: 6:35 first pitch. Game ended. There were a lot of runs. It was what was the final score? 7-4.
7-3,
something like that. So a lot of runs. There was home runs. Brett Gardner with the most Yankee Stadium home run I've ever seen. Oh my god.
Hey, do you know that the other team gets to hit in the same exact field as that? So who gives a shit?
What a fucking joke. And
that's my favorite thing. Just everyone be like, Yankee Stadium sucks, and their team can't hit those cheap home runs. It's not fair.
What a joke. Anyway, a lot of runs.
I saw CC Sabathia and Felix Hernandez, which in 2010, could you have thought of a better matchup?
2010 me would have been super excited. 2019 me, not so much.
Not so much.
But what I will say,
Sabathia's still okay.
CC looked pretty good. Felix was just all over the place. He was throwing like wild pitches with no one on base. It was a disaster.
What happened?
It was so sad that the Mariners didn't even, when he let up two runs right like 2 seconds into the game and then let up another couple runs, they didn't.
Yeah, Luke Voit hit a home run before he even turned the game on.
They didn't even do a mound visit. They were just like, you know what? This is a second inning. You're a grown man. You're just making a ton of money. You're going to pitch your way out of this. So pretty sad to see.
But he's in his last year of his contract too, I believe.
They're going to just burn him into the ground if he
gets. Do you think he just walks away? Or do you think he'll like have a like sad ending to his career where he's pitching for like the White Sox or something?
I feel like he's been trying, you know, wasn't he mad that he wasn't the opening day starter?
Yeah. This
year? So I think in his mind, he's still like his little, he hasn't come to terms, let's just
say. Man, I wish I had the confidence of an athlete.
Yeah. So anyway, Yankee Stadium. The other note, use clear to get into the stadium. Pretty cool.
What's that?
Bypass the line. You put your fingerprints. They have.
Oh, I saw commercials for that.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. Everyone was really delightful. Everyone's very nice, like the workers and stuff there. So,
a Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, the soft service. Surprisingly, everyone was very nice there. No complaints.
Remember when we went there the first year it opened and we tried to get to the field level and someone like threatened to shoot us? So it's nice that they improved.
That part was good. The food, no bueno. So Yankee Stadium. There's your updated 2019 review of it.
Cool.
All right. That's it, guys. 30 minutes. We've hit that mark.
Not yet. Soon. Wait.
Now.
Okay. 30 seconds. Or 30 minutes.
Steve, any final thoughts or words to the people here for May 7th, 2019?
Nah, I got nothing.
Trevor Bauer, pitch better, bro.
Yeah, what's up with you, bro?
Watch some tape.
I got a drone.
Trevor Bauer, play us out. You don't know me. You don't know me. Why not? You judge me on appearance. You don't judge me on my merits because you don't know me. Nope. You don't know me. Why not? You hide behind a mask to facilitate attacks, but you don't know me. You won't know me.